I'd like to read with you, please, from the Luke's Gospel, chapter 13, 13th chapter of Luke's Gospel, and verse number 6. We'll begin reading in that verse. He spake also this parable: a certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came and sought fruit thereon, and found none. Then said he unto the dresser of his vineyard, Behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on this fig tree, and find none. Cut it down, why cumbereth it the ground? And he answering said unto him, Lord, let it alone this year also, till I shall dig about it and dung it. And if it bear fruit, well, and if not, then after that thou shalt cut it down. Verse 11, And behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years, and was bowed together, and could in no wise lift up herself. And when Jesus saw her, he called her to him, and said unto her, Woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity. And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight, and glorified God. Now look, please, at verse 24. Strive to enter in at the straight gate, for many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in, and shall not be able. When once the master of the house is risen up, and hath shut to the door, and ye begin to stand without, and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. And he shall answer and say unto you, I know you not whence ye are. Then shall ye begin to say, We have eaten and drunk in thy presence, and thou hast taught in our streets. But he shall say, I tell you, I know you not whence ye are. Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity. Now verse 34. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, which killest the prophets, and stonest them that are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, as a hen doth gather her brood under her wings, and ye would not. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate. And verily I say unto you, ye shall not see me until the time come when ye shall say, Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Now we do trust the Word of God read will prove a blessing to each soul in the meeting just now. I want to remind you of 4 things that I see in this chapter. Any one of these 4 things you could experience tonight. They are very, very simple things. To me, they are extremely solemn things, and yet they may be things that you know very, very little about. Some of them, I'm sure, you are considerably acquainted with them. Those, at least, that attend meetings of this nature will find no difficulty in following the things that I'm going to mention. And if this be your first time with us, we're glad to see you, and yet we trust you will listen and be able to receive the message we have for you in the gospel. I think that you would know tonight that there is a possibility that you could die. Now that is something that is on the track of every soul in the building tonight. For the Bible says, as it is appointed unto men wants to die, but after this the judgment. And the Bible also says, wherefore as by one man, sin entered into the world and death by sin, so death has passed upon all men, for that all sinned. And when Adam sinned, you sinned. You sinned in him. And because you and I sinned in him, that condemnation, that sentence of death, is passed upon all men. Our Lord Jesus Christ speaks in this tremendous chapter, and that's the reason why I give out that second hymn. Jesus is calling and calling today. Here is a chapter that is almost totally composed of what the Savior said. You look at it again and read it thoroughly and notice that practically every word in the chapter has been spoken by the Savior. It is the voice of the Savior that calls is before us in this chapter. And he speaks of a tree that was leveled. A tree leveled. Now that's a very simple picture. The Lord Jesus called it a parable. And what he was really doing was this. He was putting alongside two very solemn providential acts of God. He was putting alongside these two providential acts of God the message that those acts should convey to those that witnessed and that knew of them. First of all, there was a massacre. A number of innocent people were put to death that never expected that as they worshipped or as they offered their sacrifice, they would have their blood mingled with their sacrifices. Men of violence came upon them, and in a short moment of time, they were launched into eternity. Those things happen today. Men of violence scour the land. There would scarcely be a country in the world that's exempt from men of violence that can wreak death and destruction on every hand. And here is something that's very, very practical and rather frequent in the very day in which we live. And then there is mention of an accident. A tower fell and a number of men were launched into eternity in a moment's notice. I needn't remind you, dear friend, of the gigantic nature of some of the most terrible accidents that have been coming upon the sons of men the world over. The world over. Men on the oil rig yonder in the north of Scotland in the North Sea. And hundreds of them in a moment of time launched into eternity as they're doing their daily toil. And many here and many there are being swept off the face of time into eternity without a moment's notice. God is speaking, friend. I hope you hear. I hope you hear his voice. Now the Lord Jesus knew what those people were saying. Those people that suffered that kind of death must have been terrible sinners. The Lord Jesus says, nay. But he said, I have something to tell you, that except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. You know, friend, it's only in the mercy of God that you're in this building tonight. For God, in his providential dealings, may have taken you away from the scene long ago. You know many that you knew before, and tonight they're gone. I know multitudes, and tonight they're in eternity. And here we are in this present meeting, dear friend, and it should be a voice to you. It should be a message that except you repent. You. But these people had not that thought. They thought that the privilege they had was enough. And the Lord Jesus said, well, it's like a tree that was planted in a vineyard. And this man came and he looked for fruit. And he found none. And he said, cut it down at tree level. Cut it down. But you know, dear friend, how many summers have you sat under the sound of the gospel? And people have been looking at your life and looking at you and wondering, will this series of meetings bring you to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus? And those meetings are past and there's no fruit for God. And remember, friend, the God of heaven's looking down. And here you are in another series of gospel meetings. And here you are in another gospel meeting tonight. And God is looking for fruit. What if he said, cut it down? What if tonight, friend, that sentence were given, cut it down? How many opportunities have you had of hearing the gospel of the Lord Jesus? How many opportunities have you spurned? How many messages have you heard? How many days have you lived? And you have not yet accepted Christ as your Savior. God may say tonight, cut it down. But there was a voice that said, let it alone this year also. How wondrous the grace of God is seen in those lovely words. But you know, friend, God has two instruments in this passage. He has got the spade of conviction. The spade of conviction. And dear woman, dear man, let it in tonight. If the word's hurting you, let it hurt you. If the word is shaking you, let it shake you. If the word is removing the props that you've been depending on in religion and philosophy and your opinions, let them go. What is it? It's God digging round about you, friend. He said, I'll dig about it and I've done it. God is giving you special attention tonight, dear friend. Before, so we not have to use the axe. After that, cut it down. What do you want? Do you want God's spirit of conviction? Or do you want God's acts of judgment? Death's on your track. And you might be healthy. And you might be strong. And you might feel, friend, you have all the power. But remember, my Bible tells you, and it tells me, neither has any man power over the Spirit to retain the Spirit in the day of death. Many a man on the gulf tonight facing the enemy may be wounded and may be brought back to base and put into the comfort of a hospital with tender hands and live to fight another day, you know. But you know what my Bible says on this point? I put it this way, once mortality begins to grapple with immortality, my Bible said there is no discharge in that one. No discharge. Tree level. No, the second thing may happen tonight, friend. The Lord Jesus may come. That's very simple, isn't it? Did you ever hear that before? Maybe you never heard that, you know. Well, the Lord Jesus has promised to come back. And he's coming back to take those of us that are saved to be with him in heaven forever. He promised it. And he has told us about it over 300 times in the New Testament. And you know how he puts it here? He says, when once the master of the house has risen up and has shut to the door, then shall you begin to stand without. That's how he puts it here. It's not the voice in providence, it's his voice in prophecy. It's not now a tree level, it's a door locked. when once the master of the house has risen up and shut the door. That door today stands open wide, and through its portals gleaming, a radiance from the throne of light, the God of love revealing. The Lord Jesus says, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. And he says in this lovely passage, strive to enter in at the straight gate. My friend, you should be in earnest tonight. And God make you in earnest. Young friend, I hope you're anxious about your soul. If not, there could be something wrong. And I'd ask you to pray to God that he may give you anxiety about your soul tonight. Strive to enter in at the straight gate. What I tell you, the Lord Jesus said, when once, the master of the house has risen up and is shut to the door, the Lord Jesus says, and ye begin to stand without. Did you hear me last night? I told you there were so many beginnings in Luke's gospel. Here's another one. Begin to stand. There's another one in the second verse down, and you begin to say, see them? Begin to stand, and begin to stay, to say. And you know, friend, if the Lord came tonight before this meeting's ended, you'd be left behind. That door was shut. And this was the very thing that used to disturb me when I was a little fella, sitting in meetings like this. And you know, friend, the Lord Jesus puts it through very, very carefully, doesn't he? You begin to stand without and to knock. There will be multitudes, I would feel, friend, anxious when it's too late. There will be multitudes willing to enter when the door is shut. And tonight, dear friend, while that door stands open wide, why not enter in? For the Lord's coming. He's speaking. I told you of a woman, a young girl, a young married woman I know very well. And I just had the great news the other day about her that she's got saved. Months and years of prayer ascending for that dear young woman. And with the situation in the Gulf, it spoke to her soul that the Lord's coming is very near. And that dear young woman has trusted the Lord Jesus, and I've never ceased to thank God for it, because it's a real answer to prayer. My brethren, pray for her husband tonight. Is it true? It's true, friend, that the voice of the Savior is heard. He's coming. You could be left behind. Here's another thing. The Lord Jesus says, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, that killest the prophets, and stonest them that are sent unto thee. Ah, you know, friend, it may sound strange to you tonight. You mightn't like the preacher, you know. But don't worry so much about the preacher. But listen, be very, very concerned about his message. That's the point. For God is taking account of how you react to the message. And here's a city. And the Lord Jesus said, you kill the prophets, and you stone them that are sent unto thee. And now, says the Savior, I have come. How often would I have gathered thy children together, as a hen doth gather her brood under her wing? But he adds, ye would not. What does he say? He says, your house is left. Left. A tree level. A door lock. A house left. A house left. The Savior had come. The messengers had come. They heard the sweet entreaties of the loving Savior, but they would not. They would not. They didn't want the Lord Jesus. They had no in concern, no anxiety, no desire about the message he preached, nor those that were sent before him. And when he appealed to them lovingly and with all the entreaty of his beloved heart, they said no. What does the Savior say? Listen, friend, to it tonight. He said, your house is left. Left. I wouldn't like to think so, friend. Oh, God forbid tonight. In fact, we would pray otherwise. We would. But listen, I wouldn't want to think that there's a soul in the meeting tonight would be left by the Spirit of God. Left. In a meeting. Listening to the gospel. And no thought of Christ. And no desire to be saved. And no hope of heaven. What a tragedy, friend. It's not that you don't know the way. It's not that you never heard the way. But having heard, you have said no. What if God would take you at his word? What if Christ would say to you, your house is left? I remember having tent meetings in the early 50s in a place you wouldn't certainly put a tent tonight, on the Ardoyne side of Belfast. And the main guy rope, one of the main guy ropes, had to be put in right inside a man's garden. It so happened I knew the man, worked with him in the aircraft factory, so he willingly helped me and allowed me to put the main guy rope right over the hedge into his garden. And best of all, he came to the meeting. Came for 2 weeks. And I saw that man the third Sunday, friend, of those gospel meetings, sit in the back seat. I was only a young fellow at the time and a good older brother preaching with me. And I saw the very hymn book shaking in his hand. Shaking in his hand, I see it yet. And he sat on after that meeting. And I went down and sat beside him. And with another brother, we talked to him about God's salvation. And you know, we brought him, I would feel, right to that point where I want to bring you tonight. I trust the Spirit of God has already got you there. And you know, that man looked at me in the face. And he says, Tom, you know the kind of person I am. And I said, Ginger, that was the name we knew him as. And I just called him in his aircraft factory name. I said, Ginger, I know it all, but it doesn't matter. God will forgive you. And he closed the hymn book. And he rose up. And he went out of the tent. And he never darkened the door of the tent again. That frightens me, friend. Frightens me. I see that at this moment of time as clearly as I see you. And I wonder, not for me to say, was the house left? So near. But not near enough. Finally, friend, there's a woman loose. What did the Lord say? He says, woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity. That's the fourth thing could happen tonight, friend. You could get saved. That's simple. You could be removed in death. The Lord Jesus could come and you'd be left behind. The Spirit could leave you through your rejection of Christ. And the fourth thing is this, you could be saved in the secret of sin. He sees you. He knows where you are. He saw this woman. It says he saw her. It says he called to her. It says he said to her. He took the initiative, and he can take the initiative tonight, friend, for he's absolutely divine, and he's the vessel of God's sovereign saving grace, and he can come right to your soul tonight, friend, and say what? Woman. Man. Thou art loosed from thine infirmity. Bound by sin, she was. and bound by Satan she was. But thank God she was blessed by the Savior. Woman, thou art loosed. May he speak that life-giving word tonight, bringing you salvation at the infinite cost of his precious blood at Calvary, free to you, friend, but infinitely costly to himself, for he died that you might live. May God bless his word.